With over 200 flavor notes to discover, Woodford Reserve is more than just a spirit. It's a spectacle for the senses. Toast to 150 years of the Kentucky Derby with the best bet in bourbon. Raise a glass of Woodford Reserve on this monumental celebration.
Live from State Street in the heart of Chicago, you are listening to the new home of the Chicago Bears, ESPN Chicago. And this is Carmen and Yurko, WMVP, WSHE, HD2, Chicago, a Good Karma Brands radio station.
If you were with us earlier, you heard us mention that tickets go on sale tomorrow for the 4th annual Grip It and Sip It Classic. That is our fun golf outing with all of our wonderful partners and listeners. It's going to be back at Seven Bridges. It's happening June 12th. So if you can make it and you want to put a foursome together or buy a spot, tomorrow at noon, the website will be live. And this thing is sold out in each of the first 3 years in mere minutes. That is not an exaggeration. So be fast tomorrow at noon. GripItAndSipItClassic.com. You get a round of golf, complimentary gift bag, lunch and dinner, whole contest, sampling opportunities from our great partners, and much more. And we're doing a team event this year. Foursomes are going to be paired up with all the shows, Cap and Hoodie, us, Black and Abdallah, Waddle and Sylvie, Peggy and Dion. So it's going to be a competition. A winning team is going to get the Elijah Craig Cup. We thank our great partners at Elijah Craig, Kentucky Straight Bourbon Whiskey, Seven Bridges, Great Clips, the Pride Stores, and American Sale. So your tickets and your spaces are available to you tomorrow at noon at GripItAndSipItClassic.com. The Bears went down to Springfield. Mr. Warren goes to Springfield, Yurko. And Governor Pritzker's aide said, yeah, this is a non-starter, the echoing the comments of the governor himself about a week ago. Now, that doesn't mean they won't acquiesce at some point. We've seen this before. We've seen it. Sports teams are important to their cities, especially in a place like Chicago.
Right.
And because of that, normally they bend over backwards to keep them. And I do wonder if some of the same stuff will happen here within the legislature downstate. I mean, obviously the legislature downstate. Obviously, they already have the support of the mayor. So I don't know what to expect. I mean, I think there's a lot of tough talk now. But my guess is ultimately the Bears will get what they want. I don't think that's fair. I don't think that private sports teams, that billionaire owners should ask for public subsidies and public money to build their stadiums that are only going to benefit them. There really is no economic impact. This has been proven over two decades worth of studies. Two decades. Even some stretch back further than that into the 90s, where economists have basically said, yeah, don't buy what they're selling you. There is no great economic impact to the people. There just isn't. The great economic impact will be to the McCaskey family. And they're going to take even larger shares away from the Park District with the revenues that go to the new stadium. So, no, I don't think it's a good idea. I don't think it's a good way to spend taxpayer dollars.
Right.
And that's what they are. Whether, you know, you say, well, it's a tax on out-of-towners. What do you care? It's still a public tax. That money could still go to things that are more important for the city and the state. When the hotel tax doesn't cover it, guess who has to foot the bill? The taxpayers. So I just don't buy it. I think also it's silly that they ask.
Also, the example that's out there is they've utilized this to build Comiskey Park, this same financing scheme, and to build the refurbished Soldier Field. They haven't paid it off.
They're not even close.
They're not even remotely close to paying it off. And you saw what the estimates are to get it paid off, exactly how much this is actually going to cost. Of course, they put what their costs, what they thought they were going to be, and what they actually were. They had two different demons. And then over 40 years, well, what's going to stop these guys? This was built in 94, right? 30 years ago?
91.
91, 32 years ago?
Yep.
This one's 02, 20 years ago?
Yes.
So you're going to put this over 40 years? What's going to stop you from wanting something new?
No.
Again.
Please, at this point,
we've
right.
already seen what happened in Nashville.
Yes.
That stadium opened in 1999.
Apparently, they were smart. They wrote in, as the owners, of course, they wrote in a guarantee about attendance, I think. Did I read that? I think I read that somewhere. Somebody sent it to us.
In Nashville.
Yes, that they built something in about their attendance that the city had to then give them a new stadium if they were below a certain threshold, I think, in terms of their attendance.
If you were below the threshold, why do you deserve a new stadium?
I don't know, Yerk.
Wouldn't it be you had to be above a certain threshold? You had to be 102% of capacity?
Think about the sweet deal Jerry got with attendance.
Right, but why the hell would I do that?
Let me try to find that. I thought, and as we were discussing it, somebody forwarded me a story about why Nashville already is getting a new stadium. But you're right about that.
I mean, that's
what's to prevent them in
crap.
Another 25 years?
Right. When it's 15 years away from theoretically being paid off or never being paid off, which is what direction this is heading. So you got the Bears. You've already told the Cubs to go blow it out their ass.
Yes.
You did. You've done that already.
The mayor did that.
Right. And the mayor at the time was?
Rahm Emanuel.
Because he didn't like the politics of the Ricketts family.
Correct.
So he said, we won't give you anything.
Correct.
So you got the Bears, you've got the White Sox that are getting in line for the same 2% tax, mm-hmm. and you got Ricketts wanting to get her soccer team.
Yeah.
A new stadium. New stadium for the soccer team.
For the Red Stars.
Meanwhile, you got something in Bridgeview that's brand new, too.
Well,
and
yeah.
And Sox Stadium.
It's a great stadium.
I've seen a country concert out there, too.
It's a nice place
to go see a concert,
yeah,
too.
I've been there. I've been there for soccer. Yeah, I mean, it's a good stadium. Do you think ultimately they'll acquiesce like they always do? Will the state have, I don't want to say have no choice, but will they just feel the pressure? I think
everybody's grandstanding. This is all, nothing will happen in the public eye.
Mm.
Everything that will happen will be in backroom meetings.
I think it's grandstanding too. Yeah. On both parts. I think Governor Pritzker's grandstanding.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
I do.
Of course he's grandstanding.
I think ultimately they're going to get what they want. Taxpayers will cover it.
Absolutely.
Or a big portion of it, like always. I don't think it's fair to us. Now, I guess not everybody agrees with us. Some people don't mind. Oh, it's a small tax. It's okay.
Yeah, it's a small tax. It never gets paid off.
I don't think.
By the way, you're on the hook for even more than that. Don't be a fool.
Of course.
Do you see what legislation they're trying to push through into gambling? They want to increase the tax to 35% for gambling?
For gambling.
Up from its current level, which I think is either at 10 or 15.
That's a huge increase.
Do you think? It's not hurting you? You don't think it hurts the individual gambler?
Oh, of course it does. Yeah, I would never suggest the Bears are unimportant. Of course they are. They're a huge part of civic pride of our, even though they're not very good historically. They're a huge part of the fabric of our culture living here. I don't dispute that for one second. Does that mean we should have to foot the bill for a new stadium that increases the value of their franchise, that puts more cash flow into their pocket? I just don't see it that way. I have a hard time understanding
how
anybody thinks that that's okay.
It.
Yeah, I just,
how do you comprehend the crap?
Again, you build your stadium. You are a very powerful group of individuals with the backing of a very powerful entity in this country, with almost unlimited means to secure financing and capital. Go build your stadium. Nobody's stopping you. But again, this at some point over the last 80 or 90 years has become the common practice for owners. They've become very good at convincing the public that it's in their best interest.
And it's not.
And it's just not, you know. And it's really, this practice didn't really start until the 30s and 40s, Yerk, where all of a sudden sports teams expected the taxpayers and the government to finance them. And it just took one time. And other owners realized, well, wait a minute. Did you see what happened here? Let's go do that. And it's gotten us to this point where people think it's okay. I don't think it's okay. I don't know. My guess is it'll get rammed down our throats anyway, like Yerko said. It's all grandstanding. It'll all be behind the scenes, closed door stuff. With very powerful, influential people and clout-heavy people, you scratch my back and we'll scratch you. That's the way it's going to go. We know how politics works. The public grandstanding is something, though, right now. I mean, on both sides, it really is.
Oh, you know,
Governor Pritzker trying to act tough. This is a non-starter. This can't happen. And the Bears with, everybody in Chicagoland will come here 365 days a year to enjoy our beautiful lakefront. Really? Chris, how many more times will you go down to that lakefront and enjoy those parks outside of Bear game day?
Not often.
Not often?
I will say this. When I lived over here in the park, like a block away, I did go out in the park every single day.
Yeah.
Which park? It was glorious. Grant Park, the lakefront there, the harbor, Museum down to Tampa, the planetarium, and then back around Soldier Field. Yeah. I would run every single day through it. It was great.
Yeah.
I don't live across the street anymore, though. So.
Yeah, and you're not going to get red. That's the thing. We don't, a very small percentage of the population lives right there where you can access it easily. And for any of us that live in the greater Chicagoland area, I mean, everybody knows what we're talking about. I mean, don't play dumb. Like, oh, no, I'll go. No, you won't. For what reason? For what purpose?
None.
Students aren't going to congregate out there.
They will.
The weather stinks here for 6 months, 7 months out of the year.
December 5th, they're going to go there and they're gonna sing Christmas carols, Carm.
The grandstanding on both sides is just like, it's all it is. It's a perfect explanation.
What about all the bathrooms they're going to build?
Yeah, right, all the bathrooms.
What about, we're going to build bathrooms. Well, thanks, Kevin Warren.
I mean.
Yeah, that'll be great.
That's a selling point, bathrooms. Man, I might drive from Cherville, use one of the bathrooms one day just to visit the park and use a bathroom.
You know, when you live in a big city, too, you normally, you sort of learn to stay away from the tourist attractions because of the congestion. And oftentimes the location is, it's a little tricky. Like, how often, maybe once a year, we'll go to Navy Pier? Maybe? Most Chicagoans aren't finding a reason to flock to Navy Pier.
There's more than I am.
There's no reason to.
I did a show there one time for Jim Irsay's collection that they had there.
And I got news for you.
That's the last time I was there.
That's the last time
any of us were there.
That's it. That's almost 2 years ago.
Yeah.
And we all live here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And before it was years.
Yeah.
Since I was there.
It's all grandstanding. I mean, it really is. And my fear is at the end of the day, we won't have a choice.
Yeah, they'll ramrod it through behind our backs.
And they will ramrod it.
Behind our backs.
And that's it.
At midnight, in the 23rd hour.
Matt's in Lake Forest. Hey, Matt.
Hey, how are you guys?
We're well.
I just want to say, recently an architect released plans, I think they were done prior also, but to dome Soldier Field at half the cost and add seats, so a Super Bowl will be in play.
I saw it. 20,000 seats and like a clear roof dome. It was the architect, I think, Matt, that did the redesign of Soldier.
Yeah, right. And but apparently the Bears want nothing to do with it, and I think it's just because they can't have the naming rights. So essentially,
it could be.
We are going to foot the bill for a twice as expensive stadium, so then the Bears could take a public entity and sell the naming rights for themselves.
Yeah. No, you're probably right about that, Matt. I'm sure that's got something to do with it. I saw the renderings. I don't know if you guys saw it. Look, I don't know that there's really any fixing Soldier. It was always a weird redesign anyway. They felt compelled to keep the colonnades. It had National Historic Landmark registration, right? They've since lost that because of what they did to it. But I don't know if you saw the renderings. It looks like a pop-up circus tent. It's got these big pole. I don't know if you saw. You should go online and look. Maybe you'd be able to find it. It doesn't look all that appealing, to be honest. No.
Yeah.
It's goofy.
January?
Well, I saw it. It might have been originally, Chris. I had seen it in one of the papers again this morning. Or you know what I maybe saw? Maybe I was on NBC Sports Chicago's website and I saw it. I saw it somewhere this morning. It was the old architect. Let me see if I can find it. It was some renderings released by the architect that had designed the redesign. He said, here's what you could do. You can make a glass sort of dome stadium, add 20,000 seats, but it had on the four corners, it had like these big stanchions that were with wires that were sort of supporting this dome. And to me, it looked like a
a pop-up.
A big top.
Like a big top. Yeah. I don't know.
I haven't seen it, and the way you describe it doesn't appeal to me.
No, I know.
So, I mean, that's where I am with that as far as it goes. If it gets built, it gets built. I don't stay in the city of Chicago as far as, like, I rent a room or doing it.
Right.
The only time I pay taxes down here is when I buy something to eat.
Right.
Today, I spent $13. $13 of that, 11.5% was tax.
Right.
Of that $13 that went to the city, $1.30.
Yeah.
Good for them. They get me every once in a while when I have to get something to eat. They get me.
When I have to get something.
But I don't stay downtown as far as, like, stay overnight. I don't rent a room down here.
Yeah.
So they won't get you. You just, if you're going to do it someplace else. That's all.
All right, 312-332 ESPN is the number. We're going to play McKnight at the Movies coming up next. It's Carmen and York. We'll be right back.
Working from home?
We're back in the office.
Don't miss a minute of Carmen and Yurko. Just ask your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
McKnight at the Movies. Connor McKnight recreates classic cinema on Carmen and Yurko. Only on ESPN Chicago.
Hey, Yurko, can I give a quick shout-out? Actually, two.
Yeah, whatever you want. You need shout-out music?
No.
Are you sure?
Positive.
All right.
First of all, it was our good friend John Swanson is the one who was, he gave me the info last week about the Nashville thing. So he's like you. He knows most things men should know.
Nashville,
the stadium's being redone because the Titans built something into the contract with the city that in order to move, they had to build them a new stadium if they fell out of the top 10 in max capacity in the NFL.
Ah, max capacity.
So that's the kicker there. I got you. That's why, which was smart of them. So they get a new stadium 20 years later, to your point.
But that is ridiculous, though. That's ridiculous.
Crazy.
I would have put that place at 80,000, so it never would have. That would have never have gotten into that. You know what I'm saying? It never would have been enacted.
Cap thinks Prisco is anti-Bears because he's got him at 17th. The Athletic has the Bears at 13th. Cap thinks that's where they should be. All right. We're talking about a couple of spots.
Yeah, you're splitting hairs.
I don't think 17th is hating on the Bears, though.
They're the third best team in their own division still until they prove differently.
Yeah.
They can't beat Green Bay, right? They can't beat them.
Yeah.
And listen, Detroit would still be considered better than the Bears.
Yes.
But I like the way the Bears compete against Detroit. Better than I like the way they compete against the Green Bay Packers.
I think we all are very high and optimistic on you know where the Bears are going here. But if you say, well, I still think they're 15th or 16th or 17th in the power rankings, that doesn't make you a hater.
I got them at 11 wins, and they still might finish third in the division. At 11 wins, they could still possibly finish third in their own division.
And then if I say something like, man, 11, I think that's a little aggressive. You're like, oh, you're a hater. How is that hating? Like, if I think they win 10 games, that's a hater? It's so silly. I mean, if I predict the Bears to go 10-7, I'm a hater.
Maybe we'll have to ask John Shriffin what I
am. Stand up, Carm.
You're sitting right now. Like, it's
just sitting. Stand.
It's just dumb.
Stand up.
I am standing. I'm literally standing. You know, like, if I pick the Bears to go 10-7, I'm hating? I don't think so. They've won 10 games the last 2 years combined, haven't they?
Yes, they have.
So I'd be a hater if I picked the Bears to go 10-7?
Yeah.
Silly. It's so silly.
Yeah.
Here's the shout-out. Christopher Morel just did an absolute bomb.
Well, good for him.
It made me think of something that I need to shout out one of Gio's teammates. From Tuesday night, Jackson Schneider over the fence slam.
Grand slam?
Grand slam.
The salami?
Over the fence. So when you hit an over the fence slam, you get a shout out.
How far we got it?
I'm going to guess that ball went.
Our fences were 200 feet.
I'm going to guess that ball went 210.
210.
On the fly.
All right.
Yeah.
So 200 fences all the way around.
Probably. Yeah. I'm going to say about 2K. And when he hit it, you knew it. Straight away center.
You knew it.
Over the fence.
It was tagged.
Salami.
Yeah. It was tagged.
For Jackson. So.
Hey, congratulations. Jackson go out to him. Good.
Yeah.
He's one of 1,000 kids that probably have hit a grand slam in the Chicagoland area. But Schneider gets mentioned because he's on your team.
That's why I don't
know
what to tell you.
Isn't that wonderful? Nepotism.
It's nepotism at its finest, Yurko. Yeah. I don't know what to tell you.
It's fine. That's why if they join Rake City, there's a chance their name might be mentioned on the radio.
You might get a
advantage your squad gets, Carm. And there's nothing wrong with that. Did Swanson say he was taking us to Olympia Fields again? Anything in there about that? No?
No, but I think John will take us to Olympia Fields.
No, I mean, there's nothing in the text.
No.
Just something about Nashville.
We need a Carmen.
I mean, we handed him and his partner his ass.
Yeah, I know.
Remember that, Carm?
We handed him that.
We tagged him like there was no tomorrow.
And the great thing is John's like a four handicap golfer.
I know.
He was so pissed.
Those guys kept pulling the ball over the fence. I go, you guys hit the crap out of it. But boy, it certainly does fly over the fence pretty nice.
John hits the ball 300 yards off the tee.
Both of them hit the ball like it was unbelievable the way they struck the ball.
Yurko and I cooked him, and like he couldn't have been more pissed. We need a Carmen and Yurko Black and Abdallah outing to Olympia with Swanson. We got to make that happen this year. So we'll do that.
I had knocked my handicap down to 12 that year.
That's pretty good.
After it, but the 83 and the 80 I shot at Glen Woody.
Yeah.
Had emergency session.
That's so good.
They got something called Capmaster now, and I know we got to get to it, that if you're out of whack and the lower your number is, they adjust your number. They just, that's it. There's too much randomness here. We've got to adjust your number down. Oh, yeah, it's there. You don't want to be on that.
No.
You don't want to be one of the top five names on that. That means you're out there being a little shady.
That's exactly what that means.
Slim Shady.
All right, let's play McKnight at the Movies. We do it about this time each and every Thursday, brought to you by the great folks at the Village of Elmwood Park. So many great food options to choose from. Today's gift card is for Angelo Caputo's Fresh Market. So if you're the first correct caller, you will win, and we'll play along with you. You know the drill. Be the first correct caller at 312-332-3776, and you will claim victory and win the gift card to Angelo Caputo's. Here we go. McKnight at the Movies, Part 1.
Our scene opens in a giant boardroom. Looks like two parties are here, one on each side of the table. Suits, ties, and folios all over the place. It's official, whatever this proceeding is. A man with slicked back hair, one of our three mains, has been asked a question. He restates, not to be sure he's heard correctly, but to underscore his command of the situation. Strap in for a monologue. With withering condescension, our speaker starts in. He's setting the stage for his competence. Forget that, for his excellence. He'd cite his transcripts and read you each word on his many diplomas, it sounds like. Everyone around the table, all dressed in the big shoulders and wide ties of the early 90s, stares on, slowly realizing that not only is this man admitting who he is, he's proud of it.
Maybe I don't have it. I took a guess. Yurko's got a different one. Ooh.
Not only have Chris and I not seen this movie, neither of us have ever heard of this movie.
All right, never mind.
Then we're both dead in the water.
Then we're both wrong.
Here's how I would phrase that.
We're both wrong.
Abdallah's right on not only not hearing it, but I'm pretty good with like pop culture references and just being aware of things existing.
I'm shocked.
Even if I have no references to this
one. I'm kind of shocked at that. I've never come across something like that where Chris would be like, I've never heard of that before.
Yeah.
That's odd.
This is, I have no idea.
Really? Right. Let's go. Let's do this.
All right, let's find. I'm taking it then that Twitchers don't have it?
No, I have not seen it in Twitch yet.
All right, here's part two.
A bit on our actors. Our speaker has a way of delivering these monologues. He'd find an extra boost of TV fame by parodying this kind of seriousness. He's been in and out of hot water recently. He's being asked this question by Sandy Cohen from the OC, who's sitting next to Alice Harford. She's silent. Around the table we go. Our monologuer sits next to General Patton, who is seated next to Mr. Duxworth himself. Also in the movie, but not in the scene, President Whitmore, Dr. Lilith Sternin, the Mrs. Robinson, Jigsaw, Pepper Potts, Jeremy Goodwin, and Sally Sasser.
Well, you got some cast here. You got George C. Scott. You got Anne Bancroft. Am I getting the actors right here just by what he's listing?
Yeah.
He said Patton.
Pepper Potts. I don't know who Pepper Potts is.
Who played Mrs. Robinson? Wasn't that Anne Bancroft? Or am I wrong on that?
I don't know.
Wasn't she?
I'm telling you, I don't know.
You know. I don't know
George C. Scott.
I don't know this yet.
Twitch does not have it.
All right, let's go part three.
Back to our scene. Our monologuist is still listing his resume. Not sure what being immune to seasickness has anything to do with anything, but it's part of it. The contempt he has for these proceedings would be off his perfectly prepared medical charts. Thankfully for him, some lawyer called this bit off the record, or this case would be settled as soon as the deposition ended. No one can make the name Dennis sound like more of an insult than this guy. No one can cop to a god complex like this guy. Is it as good as his 8 minutes of screen time in Glengarry Glen Ross?
I got it.
No. Is it in the Mount Rushmore of his work, along with some things in here don't react well to bullets? Yes, I think it is.
I think I just got it. I think it's called, geez, I'm not going to be able to
Twitch finally got it.
Is this,
We don't have a winner yet, so don't say it if you know it.
I won't say it. I think I know, yeah, and Anne Bancroft was Mrs. Robinson. I think it's, I can tell you the actors in it. Bill Pullman, Nicole Kidman. If I'm thinking of the right movie, it's got Alec Baldwin, Nicole Kidman, Bill Pullman, Anne Bancroft. If I'm thinking of the right one.
Alec Baldwin, I know what you're talking about.
That took forever.
Talking about the movie where she lost the pregnancy
yes,
at the end.
Yes.
He is had that the movie? Complex. Yeah.
I can't think of the name of it, but I've seen it. It's actually quite good. It's dark.
Oh, yeah, very dark.
She, Babe Newirth plays the detective.
Yeah, he's in the background in the house when the two of them get in there.
Yes.
And they start making out, and then he finally realized he was duped.
I can't pull the freaking name. Mike and Downers, tell us the name.
I've seen it now.
Great movie, guys. It's Malice.
Malice. That's it. Good job, Mikey. Good work. And it is a sneaky good movie.
Yeah, it's weird.
It's called Malice.
And she's the devious one.
Yes.
She is terrible.
Cold-blooded.
She is a terrible, terrible woman in that movie.
Yes.
Yeah.
Boy, that's a deep cut there. Malice.
Because they found out she lost the baby, which would give her more money. And the doctor was Alec Baldwin. She was theoretically the victim.
They were in cahoots together.
They were in cahoots together against her husband.
To steal Bill Pullman's money.
Yeah.
Yes, exactly right. All right, here is the reveal.
The question is, do I have a god complex?
Dr. Kessler says yes.
Which makes me wonder if this lawyer has any idea as to the kind of grades one has to receive in college to be accepted at a top medical school. If you have the vaguest clue as to how talented someone has to be to lead a surgical team. I have an MD from Harvard. I am board certified in cardiothoracic medicine and trauma surgery. I have been awarded citations from 7 different medical boards in New England, and I am never, ever sick at sea. So I ask you, when someone goes into that chapel and they fall on their knees and they pray to God that their wife doesn't miscarry, or that their daughter doesn't bleed to death, or that their mother doesn't suffer acute neural trauma from post-operative shock, who do you think they're praying to? Now, you go ahead and read your Bible, Dennis. And you go to your church, and with any luck, you might win the annual raffle. But if you're looking for God, he was in operating room number 2 on November 17th, and he doesn't like to be second-guessed. You ask me if I have a God complex? Let me tell you something.
I am God.
Yeah. It's a good scene. It's a good movie. It's sneaky good. Anne Bancroft as the mom is awesome in it. Like, she's not in it much. But it's a pretty good ensemble cast. It's a movie I probably haven't seen in 20 years, I'm guessing. But it's pretty sneaky good.
And was she in a home? Like she had put her in a home?
Yeah. Oh, man, I'm trying to see when was that movie from.
Nicole Kidman, terrible. 1997, I'm guessing.
93.
Oh,
so it's been a long time since I've seen it. But it's a sneaky good one, folks, if you're ever looking for a deep cut one of these nights. All right, we're going to do the Lunch Rush coming up next. Jesse Rogers talks baseball with us coming up at 2. It's Carmen in New York. We'll be right back.
Zoning out on that Zoom meeting? Zoom. Find out what Carmen and Yurko were talking about. Tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
Ants marching. We are going to do some... Did you just give a... Ugh, Adam.
I hate Dave Matthews Band.
Aw.
Dave Matthews Band.
Dave. See, I was saying, Dave, it's
sorry,
just
sorry,
Dave.
Bro.
It's
sorry,
Dave.
Bro. Dave. God forbid we give respect to his band.
You know, I was in high school when these guys got big, so I probably like them a little bit more than most. I think, you know, it always sometimes comes back to when you experience things in life, and I don't mind Dave so much. Dave Matthews Band. You'd be probably ashamed to hear me say it, Adam, that I've seen him like 5 times at concert. But anyway, I digress. It's time for the lunch rush. And speaking of that, we told everybody Black and Abdallah were away on Tuesday on assignment. And if you follow all the social pages, and you should, our Instagram, the ESPN Chicago Instagram, and all of our YouTube channels, all the shows have their own. Follow the Carmen and Yurko channel just by searching at Carmen and Yurko. You should also follow us on Instagram. And if you saw Black and Abdallah's Instagram, you will have seen that they spent some time eating lunch in Tinley Park on Tuesday. And I got to say, it looked quite good, boys. I mean, it looked quite like Italian
food. For the
info,
Yurko.
What did he do?
5 pounds lighter, guys.
All right.
You're trying to talk to us. He's telling us about what just happened
in
the bathroom.
His bowel movement?
Yeah.
But no, lunch looked good. You guys hit a few different spots in Tinley, and it looked like you guys had fun.
Shout out Tinley Park. We had a great time. Life Amplified. We went on a food tour to four different restaurants. We had Asian fusion. We had two Italian spots. We went to a brewery. It was fantastic. The food was great everywhere we went.
It all looked good. The pizza at that Frankie's place looked incredible.
Mm-hmm.
The wood oven.
His
one of your paisans makes it.
Yeah, like a real pizzaiolo from Italy they have doing that.
His short rib.
Risotto.
Look good. Oh my heavens.
Look real good. On.
12 out of 10, he gave it a great. 12 out of 10, did you see that?
You know, when you,
so good.
When you guys ask me, what do you really want to do in life? Like, this is it. But like the other thing, like, I want to move to Italy and like be a real pizzaiolo. That's right. I want to be able to call myself pizzaiolo.
Pizzaiolo.
All right? That's the kind of...
So he awesome. Frankie's, and they are from Italy.
Yeah.
So they came over, and he gets the ingredients from Italy, so it tastes fresh, awesome. Exactly the way it should be.
San Marzano.
I got to go to Frankie's in Tinley Park.
They were telling us that they don't do bread service at the table, like olive oil and bread, unless you ask for it, because their olive oil is legit, and like... It's pricey.
It's a little too pricey. That's what I'm talking
about. You know, too, Tinley Park Titans, the high school, 1987 Class 4A football champions with 27 players on their team.
Wow.
Did you know that?
That's incredible.
Yeah.
All right, Adam.
Good team. That was a good team.
That sounds like it. Where are we starting with the lunch rush?
Oh, the NFL, gentlemen. For the true sickos out there, like I mentioned a couple days ago, the big board was out. Now Jordan Reed has put out his 2025 mock draft.
God, come on.
Now, listen, okay, yes, come on, whatever. But a few things to take away from this. So in order to the way he determined the order was based off of win totals and playoff odds and Super Bowl odds.
Okay.
So right now, the Carolina Panthers have the first pick, meaning the Bears would have the first pick in the second round.
That's true.
Very good for the Bears,
that's
correct?
Good. Yeah.
In this one, he has the Carolina Panthers trading out of the first pick, not taking quarterback. But I would say, if you have the first pick again, probably time to move on from Bryce Young. Not me, but whatever. Mm. And the Giants select Carson Beck at quarterback from Georgia. Now, we keep scrolling. Picking 15th overall are your Chicago Bears. They take Patrick Payton, the edge rusher, out of Florida State. Mm. That being said, the teams this year that picked 14th, 15th, I believe 16th, and 17th were all 9-8.
Mm.
So that this is
and
kind
you just
of,
missed the playoffs.
And they just, all of them just, the team that picked 15th was the Colts. They were 9-8.
They
missed
eight,
the playoffs.
Just missed it, yeah.
Okay, the Raiders were right around there, 9-8, missed the playoffs. The Saints, 9-8, missed playoffs. So I guess my question is, is 9 a realistic number? I guess this is kind of a shot or no shot. Shot or no shot, if they only win 9 games, that's a disappointment.
See, I don't know. I think the season needs to play out.
No, we got to look at the schedule. Look at the strength of schedule. And we'll wait for May 9th when it comes out, and the next day we'll sit and we'll talk about
it. We know their opponents. They have one of the easiest schedules in the NFL.
Again, fifth easiest.
But what do we want to know, Carm?
In terms of Vegas win totals, they've got the fifth easiest.
But what are we looking for?
Rest and things like that.
We're looking for that rest. Yeah. We're looking for the travel. And where are we going and how are we getting there and when are we getting there?
Right.
How many short weeks do you have?
What happens after
short
the London
weeks
game?
At home? Short weeks on the road. What's going on?
Do they opt to take their bye after the London game or not? What's the game? If not, where's the game after London? Who's the opponent? Like, I do think the schedule matters.
A lot of questions, guys. A lot of questions.
Well, teams can choose to take a bye after the London game. So if they pick, they choose not to, maybe.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. Like, what if they choose not to, and where's the next week's game if they choose not to? And who is the opponent? I don't know. I just think we've got to wait. It's a week from today. So we'll know in a week. I would stop short of saying it's a disappointment because I think we have to see how the season plays out.
I think the rest of the division factors in, too. If you win 9 games, you miss the playoffs, but two other teams from the division get into the playoffs, we'll be disappointed, but I think it's easier to an easier pill to swallow than say like the Lions are the only team from the division making the playoffs, and then you know.
And what if they, like to Chris's point, what if they finish third in the division with 9 wins, the other two teams make it, but they win 9, Caleb throws for 3,800 yards and 23 touchdowns. Like, are we going to say that was a disappointment?
There's only one scenario where 9 wins is acceptable. Caleb Williams plays 4 or 5 games. He ends up getting hurt. He can't play the rest of the year. And they still find a way to win 9 games. Yeesh. That's how 9 wins becomes acceptable.
All right.
Yeah, that's true.
Don't say that.
Well,
I'm
not saying it to jinx anybody. I'm just giving you the scenario where 9 is acceptable.
What are you worried
about?
Because
9 is not acceptable.
We got Bajan. That's right.
We got Bajan.
I'm not worried. We got Bajan. All right, Adam, what else?
Mike Sando of The Athletic did his annual post-draft talking to of NFL executives and GMs and front office people about each team in the draft. And one exec liked the pick of Roma Dunze, saying Chicago already has tackles, so take a lineman in the top 10 who's going to start out at guard versus a receiver who is clean as a whistle, a proven playmaker at the position, and a position that has gone up to the $32 million range. I would have gone with a Dunze as well. One team didn't like it, saying that they should have taken an offensive lineman. If you hold on to the football in college, you're not all of a sudden learning how to get rid of it on time in the pros. They're surrounding this quarterback with weapons, thinking that he can go through the progressions and distribute the football on time, and that is not his game. You traded for veteran receiver Keenan Allen, who is used to catching passes from Phillip Rivers and Justin Herbert. He's going to be frustrated if his young quarterback does not operate on time.
Haterade! And hater action.
They also talked about the Falcons and their questionable pick of Michael Penix. I really like Penix, but if you're going to draft him, why would you not have just taken Justin Fields from Chicago or signed Russell Wilson when they drafted Penix?
No
one would fault you for that. They would have been in a much better off with money invested elsewhere, and it seems like there are no adults in the room.
I mean, you guys, like, think about it. And I think I said some of this on Monday. You could have had Justin, Jimmy G, right? Darnold, Minshew. I mean, for crying out loud, how many quarterbacks change teams? And you went out on the first day of free agency and deemed it necessary to spend 100 and whatever it was million and give 100 million guaranteed to Kirk Cousins, knowing that you were in love with Michael Penix?
It seems bass-ackwards.
It does. It doesn't make sense. Go sign Gardner Minshew for $13 million or whatever Vegas. What did Vegas sign him for?
And then do whatever you want in the draft.
Yeah. Seems crazy. Anything else you want to get to, Adam?
Yeah, real quick. Two quick things here. So the Rangers and Hurricanes in the NHL.
Yeah, thank you. Come on.
The tickets at PNC Arena, where the Hurricanes play, are going to be restricted to residents in North Carolina, South Carolina, and southern parts of Virginia.
See, I get that. They play in Raleigh. I get that. The Philly thing, it's a little strange, but okay.
This has happened to Cubs fans, though. They haven't been able to buy tickets in Milwaukee because Milwaukee's restricted it to tickets in the Wisconsin area.
Boy, the Hurricanes. Look, I'll say one thing real quick about, this time of year is great. NBA playoffs, NHL playoffs. Dallas, if you're living in Dallas right now, the Mavs with a big win last night.
Yes, they
close
did.
Out that series. The Stars, after looking dead.
Dead in
the
water.
They dropped the first two home games to the defending champs. They've ripped off 3 straight. Who's that, Carm? The Dallas Stars. Vegas Knights.
Okay,
sorry,
all right. I'm just trying to follow along.
The Vegas
with the
Knights. They're the defending
champs. Waiting for you to let me know who won
the Vegas Knights. I watched some of that game last night. Dallas played great. Who is it? Otten was the goalie, right? He made a
save
in the closing.
Marcus
Von Otten.
It's not Marcus Van
Otten. Yeah, it's Marcus Von Otten.
But the Stanley Cup playoffs are exciting. They've still been good. I like it. And then
tonight,
the Leafs are going to have to play again back home, trying to extend the series without Austin Matthews.
What's going on?
He's got some illness. He's
against
Boston.
Boston.
Is that Marshak?
Austin Matthews plays for the Maple Leafs.
And then, real quick, Carm, if you want to talk about this a little bit more when we come back after the break, NBA has admitted that Tyrese Maxey traveled.
I do want to talk about
before the 4-point play against the Knicks in Game 5.
You know, I love
not the
NBA.
One that
traveling is ridiculous.
Yeah, it's NBA. Hey, like, come on.
And especially if you saw the highlight of it. His foot, like, basically slid an inch. And this league, I will talk about that more coming up. Yeah, it's a good point. Well done. That's the lunch rush. We'll be right back.
working from home
or back in the office,
don't miss a minute of Carmen and Yurko. Just ask your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
The Knicks up by three. 10 seconds left in game five. Maxi fires! He's got it! Tie game! 8.1 to play! 41 for Maxi.
Maxi finished with, what, 46 with the overtime win in the Garden a couple of nights ago? That's where legends are made. Let's face it. You're in the Garden. I think he tied Michael, if I read that stat right, Yerk. He tied Michael for the most points ever by a visitor in a playoff game at the Garden. I mean, that's... If you're a basketball player, you can't get to a greater, like, height. Like, yeah. Right? That's like... You just tied a Michael Jordan record in the Garden. Like, that's everything
for a basketball player. Yeah, what's his
first name? Tyrese.
Tyrese
Maxey. Then the NBA comes out. They allow traveling on 30% of the drives.
You and I have watched some videos, and it's beyond the point of being ridiculous.
And they're like, oh, in the two-minute report, Tyrese Maxey should have been called for traveling. No, he shouldn't have. When they show you the replay, like, are you serious? Should have been called for traveling. Like, that two-minute report, I get the point of it. Like, you want to be transparent. And sometimes, like in the situation with game one of that series, like, yeah, Philly got screwed a little bit. It should have been Nick Nurse should have been awarded a timeout, and they should have had a foul called. But like, what are you doing? Tyrese Maxey should have been called for traveling. It was ridiculous. I don't know if you saw the video, but like what they showed and what they zoomed in on, yeah, for everything that you allow, you're going to be like, well, you know, right, that's technically a travel.
See LeBron from the top of the key take a ball, never put the ball down on the ground with three Euro steps, and goes to the basket. They don't even think about calling a travel.
It's so silly.
I mean, it's beyond the point of being dumb.
This series has been sensational. You know, everything that Embiid's gone through, just how much of a villain he is now to New York Knicks fans. Maxey's heroics the other night. Game six back in Philly tonight. Can they force a game seven this weekend in the Garden? How awesome would that be? And a fantastic series. I'm looking forward to... obviously a huge game six tonight. But Maxey, I mean, like what he's done and that performance, like I said, for these players, they know what playing in the Garden means. They know how legends are built that way. All eyes are on you. I know the Knicks haven't won in 50 years. I mean, I get it. But make no mistake, like that is the Mecca to these players. It still is. And to have a performance in the playoffs like that, what Jalen Brunson has done these last couple games after a slow start in this series, to drop 40 in a losing effort, to have the huge game he had, what was his big game, York? Was that game three? Game four, I guess. It's just been, this series has been great. It's totally lived up to the hype. Go ahead, I'm sorry. You mind if I say something?
Yeah, I just watched it.
Is that silly? Come on, York.
One, two, three, four.
The Maxey,
went to a jump stop, that's where the shot. Now you got to pivot so you can take one on your pivot.
Yeah.
After you take another one, it wasn't a little one. It wasn't a little slide.
So little to me. No,
it was a half a step. Half a step on a guy that's got a size 14 shoe is not a one-inch slide.
I will say in the last few years, guys, the definition of traveling has evolved.
Evolved?
Like, yeah, it's... There's a lot more...
Devolved or evolved?
Well, it's evolved into something else. Like, I feel like people who are a little bit older know traveling of more than the one step, right?
No. Mm-hmm.
Where I think most basketball, the way it's taught and officiated at lower levels now, that, like, you get the additional steps if you're leaving off of a pivot foot. Now, the Maxey play looks like a travel, so I'm not going to argue on that, but... They do allow a lot more than, say, they did 30 and 40 years ago.
They're just much more lenient with it. Like, without changing the rules, they're like, this is the way we want to officiate it. Right?
I think they changed the rule. I don't think it's what we all grew
up
with.
Oh, is that right? Oh, boy, I don't even think I realized
like
that.
Like, 40 years ago, what traveling was is not
the same
what
traveling is today. I don't know. I've always thought the Euro step was kind of a travel, and people are like, no,
exactly.
It's not. But like,
exactly.
Maybe that's an example of like that's allowable.
Like when we were younger,
you
30,
couldn't Euro step.
You couldn't collect, take a step, and then leave your pivot foot and take another step towards the basket.
Yeah, you might be right about it. It's just like an evolved way.
Which then you factor in like Maxey on that play where he's collecting and then moving to the side. Like, think about every play that James Harden has.
Yes.
Where he takes a step and then takes a full step backwards, collects both of his feet, and then moves off of that to take the three.
Yeah.
That used to be a travel.
That used to be travel every time. And then, like Yurko said, we see video of guys taking five steps.
Right, exactly.
It's all over the place.
I would argue with you, evolve. Evolve has a positive connotation
to devolved?
It. I think it's devolved.
They want offense, Yurk.
But again, it's devolved into something.
I think that's the problem, right, Yurk? Is some people view it as like that's making the game more fluid. It's making it better.
I don't think so.
Allowing that.
Yeah. That's
speaking
terrible.
Of Harden, how
that's
about
terrible. Devolved. The other terrible thing that happens is the ability to put your palm under the ball.
It's crazy. Palming. I mean,
take whatever you want steps.
Okay, now we're encroaching on
I mean literally it looks like you're holding it.
Complaints
not really.
Yeah, you are.
Not when the
that's
ball
ridiculous.
Is in your palming. Hand. And you're
when
taking
we were kids,
a step,
it was palming.
It's beyond the palming. You should be the side of the ball, you'd be called for a palming. When your hand is underneath the ball, you are holding the ball.
I think it is, though, like in an effort to make the game exciting in terms of offense and like offensive creativity.
Yeah.
But that goes for all levels. That's not an NBA
thing. That's true.
Thing.
That goes for all levels.
That's high school. Yeah. That's college. Yeah. The game has just completely changed
it
in
has.
That aspect.
Speaking
it
of Harden,
is certainly devolved to what it is now.
We
yes,
are getting,
I agree.
We are getting classic Harden in this series, aren't we? Like 39, 2 for 12. It's classic. Classic James Harden.
Oh, I don't know if I should. I'll tell you guys the joke about Harden. His new nickname. I'll tell you off air. I don't know if I should say it.
Tell us off air.
I want to hear
Jesse Rogers joins us to talk baseball when we come back in 2 minutes.